So one of the issues that I've had for a very long time, especially as I've gotten older, is finding a good pair of jeans. When I was young, this wasn't a problem for me, but now that comfort's the number one factor that I look for, I just hadn't found anything that worked as something I could wear all day, every day, until now. Men, if you hate khakis like I do, your time has come. The perfect jean was created by a conglomerate of mostly imperfect men and a couple of extra perfect ladies who set out on a mission to find a jean that we can wear no matter what we're doing. Whether you're lounging on the couch, working outside, salsa dancing, doing yoga poses, or dunking a basketball, this is a pair of jeans that is built for your life. I picked up a pair skeptical at first because I've been let down so many times before, but I've got to tell you, these jeans slip on like your favorite pair of sweatpants. You know the ones. Once I had my pair, I reached out to the team at Perfect Jean and asked them if I could run an ad on my show. And they were kind enough to offer you, yes, you listening right now, a special 25% off discount code that you can use when you pick up your very own pair. Don't be like me and pay full price. Take advantage and pick up the best pair of jeans you've ever worn right now. Head to theperfectjean.nyc and enter the discount code 25 for friends at checkout to get 25% off your very own pair of Perfect Jeans. Stephanie, Shit I've Learned Abroad, the podcast. I love this show. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you coming on tonight.
No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the invite so much.
Absolutely. I've been a fan of your show for a while. I actually got my wife into listening to it. She likes it a lot because, you know, she's a big travel. She loves to travel and she's kind of listens to your show and kind of jots down tips and things in her journal, which is pretty cool. So my wife's a fan. I'm a fan. I actually started to listen to the show a while back. I wanted to ask you just to kind of just dive into it because I know folks that are going to be listening to our show will probably be pretty familiar with you and we'll be familiar with the show. But let's talk about how the show, like the inception of the show and how it started because you've recorded a lot. You guys have been doing this for a while now. How did you envision the show when you first started doing this?
So when we started, it was, I got the idea. I work from home. So I'm home 24/7, not quite, but mostly I'm home all the time. So I listen to a lot of podcasts myself.
Yeah.
And I listen to a lot of true crime actually.
Oh,
and
okay.
I just started listening to them so much and they added so much value to my day that I thought, you know, I would really love to do this for someone else.
Yeah.
So I got the idea and travel's kind of my niche. It's what I know. It's what I love. So it seemed the more natural way to go.
Okay. Yeah.
So Andrea comes to mind first. Her and I have traveled around the world together. She's one of my best friends. So I knew if I was going to do it, it was going to be with her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Very straightforward. I like that.
Yeah. It was a bit of a process because sometimes you get an idea and we recorded actually another show that was kind of a different concept. And I think we got to episode 5 or 6 and we realized, oh, we don't actually have anything else to say. And we had to rework it. We had to rework the concept, rework the idea, rebrand it. And then we came up with all the Shit I've Learned Abroad and that came out. So
that's
there was definitely a process before we got to the one we put out there.
So that's really cool. And it wasn't going to walk this way, but I like that because, I mean, a lot of people are kind of getting into podcasting. Podcasting, as you know, has exploded. It's like probably the most flooded market probably in the world, or the most flooded medium, I should say, in the world for media. But I love that you guys started kind of going down a certain path and then you had to stop and kind of rebrand it. What was that process like for you guys? I mean, was that discouraging or did you just kind of think, okay, this isn't working. Let's just kind of walk another way.
Oh, it was definitely just, this isn't working. I think what we did right is we knew we wanted to do 5 episodes before we put anything online, just to work through any bugs, any little, you know, there's a learning curve even after 10, 15, 20, 30 episodes or more.
Yeah.
There's a definite learning curve. So we did the 5 and it was, the original concept was each episode we were going to talk about a different country we traveled to and the amazing people in each way or that we met in each place.
Yeah.
Which we were doing, but you realize those stories you tell, they're not long stories. It wasn't enough content for full episodes.
Gotcha.
So it kind of fell flat and then we were fine with it. Like we're happy trying things, learning, and reworking it. So we were totally okay with that.
Yeah, that's a process. I love the creativity there. When did you, when did you know that, I guess before you kind of went a different way with it, when did you know that this was going to be a podcast or this was going to be a show? Like, when did you know you had something here that could actually be an ongoing self-sustaining thing?
Oh, good question. I think it was very gradual. We didn't know. So we put the first five out there and we were very nervous, very unsure. But it's kind of one of those things where if you're working for perfection, I know so many people who've even recorded podcasts and they never get it out there because they're so determined to make it perfect that it never gets up.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, we've got five. Let's throw it up. We'll see how it goes and where it grows. So we got it up. We were pretty nervous. And then we just kept recording and we really noticed we got better throughout the first 5-10 episodes. And then people, I think it was when people we didn't know started reaching out to us. So I hosted a meetup with other podcasters here in Melbourne, which was very exciting. And just, it was really, you know, it went beyond friends and family. Because friends and family will give you, I love them all. And sometimes they'll listen out of obligation.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was when people we didn't know were listening and messaging us that we were really like, okay, all right, this is a good thing we're doing here.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned Andrea, she's your co-host. I mean, you travel a lot and we'll kind of get into that in a little bit. You guys record remotely, right? You guys are like in totally different areas, right? Continents almost, isn't it? Or am I wrong?
Yep. Yeah. Nope. You're right. I'm in Melbourne. She's in London in the UK.
Wow. So how was that process for the two of you? Because when you hear the show, it sounds like you're in the same room. You guys do a great job with that.
Well, it's surprising because we get actually messages from other podcasters quite often asking about how we produce the show because of the quality of it, which totally threw us. And I'll give almost all the credit to Andrea. She's our technical person. I'm the business and outreach person.
Sure.
So all credit to her. But what we do is we just, you know, we call each other on Skype. We count down. We both record in Audacity and we count down. We do 3, 2, 1. We start recording at the same time. And then I just send her my file later. She layers them and edits it. But I think what worked in our favor is because we're not in the same room. We don't have issues of microphones picking up other persons. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the small issues that people don't think about that you do get when you record together.
Yeah.
Or actually quieter. So it actually worked out. We'd think it'd be harder, but apparently somehow recording remotely has turned out in our favor.
Yeah, agreed. I have my partner, Jen, and I record Vanished, and she's in Austin, Texas. I'm in Kansas City. And at first it seems like, oh, this is not going to sound like we're in the same room. And that's like all you're worrying about is how are we going to make it sound, fluid and cohesive and everything and organic when you're in the same room. And shout out to the editing and Andrea in your case, because editing, I think, is the magic that makes everything.
Yeah. So, I was pleasantly surprised by that. So that we get so much feedback on that. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's get into sort of what you do, how the show is structured. I always love to ask this of all podcasters when we have them on the show. If you could describe the show to someone sort of like an elevator pitch, what's that sound like?
I would just say I like the title because it's called All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. So it's each episode we talk about different traveling issues, but it's very lighthearted. It's very fun. We definitely make fun of each other a lot and we learn as we go. So it's just really lighthearted, fun travel information. There's tips in there. There's funny stories. So it's just very easy listening, I find.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. I agree. It's funny because there's so many, just if you like, you know, fire up like, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, there's so many travel podcasts out there. It's one of those things that, it's a pretty dense market as far as podcasting is concerned. What I want to ask you is for people that are kind of thinking about starting their own show, and this isn't just for your niche or my niche or anything else, but just in podcasting in general, what do you do to make your show sort of stand out from the rest in terms of creating something that's attractive to potential new listeners that can keep, you know, existing listeners? How does that work? What do you guys, is that like an active thing for you guys?
I think being very natural is one thing. People really, if you listen to a podcast and you can tell they're trying to be something, it doesn't come off well. So people don't keep listening. I will say when I'm looking through, cause I listen to so many podcasts and I'm always looking for more.
Yeah.
One thing that does make a difference for me and whether I choose to give a podcast that first lesson is the branding, the logo on iTunes. And it's funny because it shouldn't be that way, but it's the same thing in a bookstore. If a book draws your eye to it, you'll pick it up and read the back. The back sounds good. You'll keep reading. It's the same thing with podcasts. You need to look to stand out so people click on it. And then you got to keep them listening again and again, obviously.
100%.
Yeah, that branding does matter.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And especially you mentioning books, that's sadly, that's how I shop for books when I'm browsing. It's like, oh, if the cover is, because, you know, I'm a big history geek and everything. So if the cover stands out to me, if it's attractive, you know, if it's vibrant or whatever, I mean, it really does make a big difference. Then I'm going to take a second look at that book and I'm going to kind of maybe read the back or the, you know, the inside flap or whatever. Yeah, it shouldn't be that way, but marketing is very important. I agree with you 100%.
I know. And I felt bad saying that because in my head, I'm like, oh, I should really say something more substantive and meaningful, but that's the reason marketing and that entire industry exists, because it does matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what I wanted to ask you, since probably when I first reached out to you and since I've been listening to the show, is do you have, because you've traveled, well, first of all, is there any place you haven't traveled to yet? I mean, you've been everywhere pretty much, right?
There's definitely always places. So I've got a huge list to go yet. And what I find I do is I compare myself to the travelers who have traveled the whole world. So they make me feel like I haven't done much.
Yeah.
Which I guess we all do in life to some degree. Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of places I still want to go that I haven't been to.
You know, when we did Chasing Earhart, one of the people we had on the show, and we filmed for the documentary was Cassie DePeckel. And she's like, I think she holds the record now. She traveled to every continent, every country in the world or something like that. Wow. It was like a really major, and she did it on her own. Like she traveled singularly.
I've read about her. Yeah.
Yeah. She's pretty remarkable. And, you know, super sweet girl and just like, you know, very, no ego at all. Just very like, just really down to earth. But I had asked her about what her favorite place, you know, was to travel, or did she have like a top 10 or did she have, you know, a top five or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask you the same thing. Do you have like a singular place, like, or do you have a top three or anything like that?
I have sort of a favorite based on categories. So if you would ask me, you know, my favorite place to travel for food, I'd say India for sure. Hands down. And even if you love Indian food, like wherever you live, wherever you're listening from, Indian food in India is still 100 times. It's just so fresh and everything. It's not ingredients that are mass produced. Like, I can't speak enough to how good the food is there.
Yeah.
If you ask me for beauty and the scenery and the sights, I mean, every country is beautiful, but South Africa will come to mind first. It's just incredibly beautiful there.
Yeah.
So I kind of have favorites or tops based on categories. It's hard to say. It's never just everything in one place.
Right, right. Well, I guess then the flip side of that is, and I was on your blog and kind of checking stuff out a couple of days ago, and you have what I love about what you do and kind of, you know, as many places as you've been and as envious of people that you probably are for that, because so many people want to travel, they want to go to these faraway places and they want to have these experiences, you still keep a bucket list on your website. And I think that's really cool. Is there any place you haven't been that you, like your number one spot that you just has eluded you that you want to go to?
So I, my whole life, have dreamt of going to Easter Island. I haven't been anywhere near there yet, and I haven't done that whole coast of South America, so I really need to get there. It's not in, I don't know when that will be, but it's definitely one place I've always dreamt of and I've never been to.
You know, and it's another thing I wanted to ask too is because you traveled so much, and you know, you would know this question, you'd have a really good understanding of this, is one of the things that people tend to sort of, it makes people a little standoffish with travel, is just the fear of sort of the unknown, going to another country that they don't know, and just, you know, what's the political climate in a specific country, you know, how safe is it to visit? Has there, in all your travels, has there ever been a time, a moment, a place that you've gone to that was a little frightening for you, where you were a little worried about, and then you're kind of, you know, your worries were eased when you got there? Anything like that?
Yeah, there's two that come to mind. The first one was in India, because I did India solo. So a girlfriend was there with me for about the first week or so, and then we were splitting up. And the night before we split up, I had a little moment where I was just like, oh my gosh, because you hear so many things about India, especially women traveling alone there.
Yeah.
And there are government advisories on traveling in India. So I had a moment, and I emailed my mother and I had a little panic, and she just responded. She's like, you're fine, go to sleep and you'll wake up in the morning and you're fine. And that was what I needed. And it's true. I went to bed, I woke up, I was like, oh, that was silly. Like,
like most things, when you're fearing something, it usually is just unnecessary.
Yeah. So that one. And then the other one that comes to mind is, I was going to Egypt when I did my around the world trip. I knew I had to go to Egypt. And Egypt, obviously, for a number of years now, with their governments and all the changes and all the uprisings, Egypt, there was a do not travel advisory in effect. But I still went. And I did one morning wake up to a bomb. So ISIS had blown up. There was a car bomb just right by where I was staying when they blew up the Italian consulate. And it was really weird because it probably sounded a lot worse because CNN sent out breaking news alerts. So everyone was seeing the news. So people were terrified for me. But being on the ground was a very different experience when you realize it's kind of like, I grew up near Toronto. If there'd been a shooting in a neighborhood of Toronto, I wouldn't run away and leave the city or leave the country.
Yeah.
And it was almost like the same experience. So it was it sounds very scary, but it was actually very interesting to experience what it's like there when these things happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it strengthens your intelligence of how to handle situations, and especially if you're in a foreign country or something, a different place you're not really comfortable with. Yeah, I can imagine that's it's scary, but it's enlightening at the same time once you go through it, because then you sort of look at the world a little bit differently, I would imagine, at that point.
Oh, definitely. And you realize too how the media shapes these events in ways they're not necessarily perceived of on the ground.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good kind of segue to another thought I was having. I was thinking about this year, and I was talking to my wife about it, you know, when she knew I was going to talk with you on the show and everything. She had asked me to ask you this question. As far as like perception is concerned, do you think, you know, cause you've traveled so many different countries and you've been there, you've sort of walked that walk. Is the perception different than the actual reality of a lot of these countries, as far as, you know, not only just like the safety aspects of it, but like the culture and just kind of everything, you know, like the Western civilization, how we sort of like, we stereotype sort of different cultures and things like that. I mean, it must be vastly different when you're actually there.
Absolutely. And I think people will take the government, because obviously there's a lot of wars, issues, things going on at government levels, and people take that government and assume every single person in that country is like that.
Yeah.
And that's almost never the case. Like almost every country you go to, people are just living their lives and they want to find love and they want to raise their kids right. And it's just people doing the same things in different ways a little bit. But like everyone I know who's been to Iran says the Iranian people are the most beautiful people they've ever met in their life anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But if you were to judge by what you hear on the news, you would think they're all horrible people there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a stereotype for sure. I mean, it exists, and I wonder if it's just people need to get out and travel. I mean, it really is simple as that. You need to experience other cultures. I think Western civilization, we're sort of in a fishbowl. You know what I mean? We're sort of in this little bubble, and we don't know. We only see, like you mentioned, what we see on TV and what other people tell us, you know, how other people tell us we should act or look towards a certain culture or country or lifestyle or whatever. So it's that's why I think podcasts like yours are so crucial, because, you know, it is an honest window into those cultures, into those other countries, without any kind of any bias, really, to be honest with you, which I love.
Yeah. And I don't ever want to be one of those people who's a pretentious traveler who says, well, I understand the world because I travel. Right. But everything in life is about exposure. And if you're exposed to something in person, you have a greater understanding. And it's even, and you can take that as a small example as, you know, small town communities where they have their first LGBT person. And something they've been so scared of, they realize they know this person, they've known them their whole lives, they love them. Oh, suddenly it's not so scary.
Agreed.
But everything's about exposure and seeing these things you've thought of as scary just really aren't.
Yeah. It's kind of like I tell my son all the time, and you know, he's 10 and he's at that age where his fears sort of overtake him. And I always tell him, like, there's no sense in getting worked up over something that you don't know the outcome to. You don't know what's on the other side. Like, go through the experience first, and then, you know, then you can go from there. And that's kind of, I think that's that's something that everybody should sort of take heed to, especially, you know, experiencing and exposing themselves to other countries like that.
Yeah. And I think for everyone too, the scariest part is always just that leap, the deciding to do it.
Yeah.
The actual doing of something is very rarely scary. It's just that decision-making process. So as soon as you can get past that, and that's what I like to do, I want to give people a kick in the butt to make the leap.
Yeah.
You realize nothing's that scary.
Yeah. And I guess the natural next question would be, how important do you think it is, you know, for podcasts like yours to be out there and to sort of give people that, you know, I mean, because people research, obviously they go online. They, and as we talked about earlier, podcasting is one of the biggest mediums in the world right now. People were, are going to listen to podcasts. They're going to be like, oh, you know, I want to travel to India. Like, I wonder if there's any podcasts about that, you know, about the culture, about, you know, what to expect when you're traveling, things like that. You guys wrap all that up into a nice sort of package. But I mean, how important do you think that is to have a show like yours for people that have experienced it and actually are doing, you know, what you're doing?
Yeah, I do think it's important, and mostly because what we've learned from our listeners is that a lot of them are either travelers themselves, people who want to travel and probably will be in the next couple of years and doing big trips, not even just short trips, but like the big extended ones.
Yeah.
And they're surrounded by people who are saying, you know, what are you doing? You should be saving your money. Or, well, don't go here though. That country, no, you don't want to go there. And they're surrounded by people saying no in their mind, and they need to hear people say yes.
Right.
And obviously always be smart and be safe. But when you're constantly being told you shouldn't do something, eventually you quite likely start to think, well, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah.
So we want to be those people who are saying, we want to be other people's yes people.
100% agreed. How's the feedback been for the show? You touched on it a little bit early in the conversation, but how's the feedback been for your show so far, with people just kind of listening in and reaching out to you guys?
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. And I get really excited because we get a lot of messages now from our listeners asking us questions or places they're going. Or I had a girl the other day who was going on her first solo trip. She was going to Portugal. Oh. She'd heard that I'd been there by myself, so she wanted to know what hostel. She just had questions, and I think I told her where I stayed, and she actually booked that same hostel. And I think that made her feel a bit safer doing it. Like, so it was really, like, that kind of gave me goosebumps, where it's like this big decision she's making, we helped her feel a little bit safer about doing it. So when we get those stories, we just feel so good. And obviously that's the listener experience. And then on the like podcast success itself, we've been blown away.
Yeah.
Things that have happened, like we were on iTunes, new and noteworthy. iTunes listed us on their 2019 all-time bestsellers for travel.
That's awesome.
And these things have just blown us away.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah.
Yeah. I can only imagine. I mean, it's an important show. And like I said, I can't stress that enough, because someone who wants to travel, who has been traveling, I haven't traveled anywhere near as much as you. I haven't gone as, you know, anywhere as exciting, I think, as you've gone. But I mean, we've done a lot of traveling within the United States for the documentary, and I love to travel. It's a lot of fun. I think it, you know, you get a kick out of it, and it's like, you get to experience different, even to state to state, like in the US, it's like a night and day thing. We lived in Southern California. That's where my wife and I were born and raised. And we moved out to the Midwest like on a whim. And it's just, even that is like it's like another world. It's a culture shock. As far as how slow it is and how different life is.
Where in Southern California, if I can ask?
Yeah. So we grew up in Riverside, which is like right between San Diego. And for those who don't know, tucked between San Diego and Los Angeles, like almost exactly the midway point.
Yeah. I have, Beaumont, California is actually one of my home away from home. So I go to Beaumont almost every year. Yeah.
Oh,
I love
that's
Southern
cool.
California. But yeah. I would say, and I do tell people, when you say, oh, I haven't been anywhere as exciting or stuff, but I say, when people ask me what have been the places that really surprised me and stand out, two of my answers to that are always Montana and South Dakota.
Oh, interesting. Well, South Dakota is beautiful. Yeah, so is Montana. Oh. They're both beautiful.
Oh, I just had the best time of my life there. I met the most beautiful human beings. And maybe because I had no expectations, but they blew me away. So it's funny when people, you can never compare places or experiences, because there's just so much in this world. Everything's so beautiful.
It's such a big world. You don't realize it, you know, until you get outside your bubble, as we've been talking about. It really is a huge world. I mean, travel is, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about too is travel has become such, well, perhaps it always has been, but I mean, I think like solo travel in particular has really become a large part of just like pop culture in general in the last like 4 or 5 years. I mean, it probably always did exist, but it's just really kind of exploded onto the scene as far as pop culture is concerned. What do you think, why do you think that is? What do you think it is about traveling, you know, solo or non-solo, but I guess especially solo around these different countries and everything? What is it about that is just so fulfilling and so, why does it hold so much gravitation?
I think it sounds so cliche, but it, you learn so much about yourself, and not just who you are as a person, but you learn what you're capable of, because you get put into these crazy situations. Like, I was in a tuk-tuk in India that broke down in the middle of nowhere and I had no idea where I was. And you realize once you're in these situations, you're fully capable of getting out of them, because you do it because you have to. Like, I'm not just going to stand there and cry. Like,
right.
I'm going to figure out how to get back to where I need to be. So you're put into situations you never would have otherwise been in, and you realize you're capable of almost anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. That's a powerful statement. That's very true. And you don't know until you're on your own. And like, the only person you can depend on to get yourself out of that situation is yourself. And that's, that's travel. Travel will do that for you. That's for sure.
Definitely.
So I want to ask you a couple of quick things, tips, tricks, things like that. People have been wanting, ever since we kind of said we're going to have you on the show, and I've been telling people I was going to talk to you, they said, okay, get her like tips and tricks. Like, what are, if you're traveling, I mean, I know it's different for every country, every set of circumstances is very specific to the situation, but what is there a general good rule of thumb? Is there a general like top 10, top five? Like, what are the things that you would recommend everybody should know when they travel? What are your must haves?
So top tips and tricks are, for me, are always going to relate to safety, because obviously you can go wherever you want, do whatever you want, but you always need to be safe doing it. So always have an unlocked phone, get a local SIM card. Do not be reliant on finding Wi-Fi, because it's just not responsible to do. So always have a local SIM card, always have an app like Life 360 with key contact set up. So I have Life 360. My partner can see where I am at any time. My parents can. So should anything arise, multiple people can know where you are instantly. Obviously, don't get so obliterated out of your face that you don't know what's going on. And we laugh, but it's hard to do, because when you're traveling, you're having the best time of your life.
Yeah.
So you do. So, I mean, I go out, I drink, I have fun. You just don't want to get blotto where you don't even know who you are.
Right.
Get that. And then just constantly give people updates. I mean, there's nothing I think I would hold myself back from doing. I just need to be super responsible. I always watch for site sales. I have all the points. So I do a lot of things I do people don't realize are points and are free. And people are like, oh, it must be nice to spend all this money. And I'm like, okay, I didn't, but thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Just do what you want to do. Be very safe about it. And if you're cool with getting the points and signing away your signing away all your habits for marketers, then take advantage of it.
Yeah. And I imagine social media is probably, I mean, this is probably one area where social media could be very helpful if you are traveling alone or if you're out. Cause I mean, if you can't get a cell signal, you might be able to get a Wi-Fi, or even if you get cell coverage, you might be able to get online and update friends, family, where you might be or what you're doing in case, God forbid, something were to happen, you know, instead of texting or something like that.
Yeah. And for a lot of solo travelers, who are doing these kind of backpacking type trips, who are staying in hostels, the hostels run bar tours, they run, you know, food experiences throughout cities. Hostel experiences are amazing. And then you're doing it with other solo travelers. I can't suggest that enough.
Yeah, 100% agree. We went to Ensenada, Mexico, not too long ago, and you know, beautiful place. And they even in Mexico, they recommend, you know, stay with the group, stick to the actual tours themselves, the actual sponsor tours, whether if you're going on a cruise or whether you're just going on, you know, whatever the case is, because you will get the experience, and you know, it's a little bit safer. You can feel a little more comfortable, and I think that's kind of a good rule of thumb from someone who's doesn't obviously travel as much as you do.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. Okay. So changing gears and sort of wrapping up, let me ask you this. What is, you know, every time I have a podcaster on the show, I mean, I know it's just kind of one of the hats you wear, but what is the best and the worst part, in your opinion, just about being a podcaster in general?
Oh, I think the best part is, I already touched on it. The best part is the feedback, or when people, we've gotten messages from people too saying, you know, I just did it. I booked it. Like, and they say they booked it because you gave them the confidence too. That's definitely the best feeling.
Yeah.
The worst part is just trying to figure out how to do it successfully more full time.
Yeah.
A lot of podcasters out there, I don't think people know that you do it for a hobby. And even if you've monetized it and you're making some income, like, it is still, almost everyone's going to their full day jobs and then doing this as a passion project. So you just want to make sure people, you know, I want people to appreciate that about me. And I appreciate it about the podcast I listen to, is they're not people in true crime. If a true crime podcaster, you know, doesn't put an episode out for a week and it's a weekly podcast and they get nasty comments. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, everyone, they're doing this as a passion project and people deserve a break. So I'd say that's the downside, is people not really realizing, you know, you're doing this as a passion of yours and putting it out into the world and people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. It's, you know, yes. You know, as you mentioned, people, you know, most podcasters do have some form of Patreon, you know, they do have some kind of bonus content that they put out that, you know, they're putting out for their patrons or for, you know, their VIP listeners or whatever the case, whatever you want to call it. But 90% of everything you put out is 100% free. And a matter of fact, we are actually paying to put it out when you look at it, because you're paying for your hosting, you're paying for your, all that, your website and your,
yeah,
you know, all your stuff. So it's, you're actually paying for, you know, you're paying for your gear, you know, whatever, you're paying for a hobby that you know you love. I mean, as in the case with most hobbies, but I mean, in this case, you're putting yourself out there in front of people that to be judged, essentially, in a very judgmental society.
Exactly. You know, yeah. And if people were to look at us, we have a Patreon and we're monetized as well, so we get some advertising income, and I would say we don't break even,
right?
the what we've made from Patreon, you know, it pays for the Patreon content we send them and the swag. And so it's not income, really. Yeah. It's just a return for the people investing in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Very few podcasters can, you know, I can say, oh, you know, I've got a Patreon. I'm home. I'm set free now. I don't have to pay my house payment. I don't have to pay bills. It's like, it's really not like that. I think that's one thing that I tell people, like when I guest on shows or when people ask me about podcasting and oh, well, don't you make a lot of money doing that? Absolutely not. We don't make very select amount of people that make good money doing this.
Yeah. We're definitely not all Joe Rogan. And I think I think that some podcasters, unfortunately, when they set up a Patreon, they think, you know, we've set it up, they'll all come now. And that's not how it works.
Not at all. 100%. I agreed. Well, do me a favor before we kind of wrap up tonight. Mm. Can you plug the show, plug your blog, anything you want to stick out there so our listeners can catch up with you and subscribe and all that good stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So the show is called All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. It's available on pretty much every podcast platform you may be listening from. And our socials are all Shit Abroad Pod. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, where we load all kinds of different content. And if anyone wants to find me online, I'm available at Steph Page, PAIGE. That's where you can find me. And I'm always open to having a chat or having, if you're thinking about going somewhere, like I just love giving people that push. So if there's something you've been wanting to do, I will be the person to tell you to do it.
That's amazing. Steph, this has been an absolute pleasure with perhaps the greatest name ever for a podcast, All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and good luck in all your future travels. And we will talk soon, I'm sure.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Chris.
If you made it all the way through our conversation tonight, I want to thank you for hanging out with me and my friends. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Please visit us on social media as we post each new conversation as they air, news, show information, and much more. Go to facebook.com/meandmyfriendspod. On Twitter, you can search the handle meandmyfriendspod. And on Instagram, you can find us by searching the handle @meandmyfriendspod. If you enjoyed our conversation tonight, please do me a favor and head to iTunes to rate us and leave us a review. As a brand new podcast, we need all the help we can get, and your time is truly appreciated. Me and My Friends is produced by Vanessa Williamson and edited by me, Chris Williamson. Tonight, the podcast featured the original song Escapism by producer Redeman. The opinions on Me and My Friends are those of the individual guests and may not reflect those of Chris Evan Films Incorporated. Chris Evan Films Incorporated is not affiliated with the films or clips referred to herein. Any audio clips used in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purposes of education and entertainment, and no infringement is ever intended. Me and My Friends is an exclusive trademark of Chris Evan Films Incorporated and may not be used without the express written consent of Chris Evan Films Incorporated. All rights reserved. Me and My Friends is a Chris Evan Films production, copyright 2020, all rights reserved.